Well, good morning, everybody, Cornerstone friends and family. I am so glad that we are together online. Man, I miss so many of you, and yet am getting a good chance to connect in different ways. And I don't know how it'll come across, but I tell you what, man, I am fired up this morning for the word about no one walks alone and really seeing it in our church's midst this week. I want to say first off, we've received family news of loss of loved ones and people going through different sicknesses and hardships. And I just want to say, as a church family, man, thanks for caring the way that you do. We're not going to begin in worship this morning. I'm going to give you worship for after a very particular song that captures this whole entire message. But since we're not going to start in worship, we are going to start in prayer, because we do have a number of people we need to pray for. Obviously, 9/11 was yesterday, and we want to remember all those who are still so impacted by that tragic day, as well as if you got our email about the loss of our church family member, Robert Pride. We just love their family so much, and we've got some others who need prayer in some deep ways. So I just wanted to take a moment to pray, and we're going to get right into the Word. And so I'm just going to ask you this morning to just open up your spirit, and even in the midst of being at home, just allow now God's Word to take center stage in your mind and your heart. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just welcome you where we are today. And together we are in the Spirit. And together we pray that you would continue to, Lord, lead our nation to you and your healing. Lord, those who are impacted by 9/11. Lord, who continue to feel the pain of it, the fear of it. Lord, we're asking that you become the healer. You become the one who delivers us from fear. Lord, be with each of our friends and family that need you in this time of remembrance. And Lord, we also pray for Rudo and for Dominic and Michael and Christian and the whole family. Lord, as we celebrate that Robert is in his reward, but at the same time we grieve here for the temporary loss we have. Lord, bless the family in an incredible way. And Lord, be with Gloria Preston and Mom and Dad, Mary and Darren. Just continue, dear Lord, to bring healing. Thank you that you're faithful. Lord, we pray for Joshua Gantz, dear God, and for Rebecca and Jonathan. Watch over them. Lord, for those suffering with COVID right now, Lord, we just pray, lift them up. And Lord, for several of our family members who are going through a long road of recovery, Lord, strengthen them today. From the hospital room, Lord, to the living room. Lord, even if we're in the car traveling, we just ask that you come and remind us that because of what you did, no one walks alone, and we can be a family to one another. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said, amen. Well, you've gotten some family news from us in the past week about the loss of one of our church family members, and I've just been so amazed at our church family being what church should be. You know, I've seen so many of you do so many wonderful things and care for one another. I just want to say this. It's such a reminder that church is not a service. Church is not just a doctrine you believe. It's not a social media like, right? It's not signing up for a club. Church is being a family for one another. And today, people treat church like just another thing they do, and they kind of base it on how great the service is. But I would say a real church, you base it on how great its service is by the way it's serving one another. Church is a family that has God's compassion for one another and lives it out. And all of you, thank you for the phone calls, the text, all the ways you're serving. This week, I've seen small groups step up and care for people who are sick among their group like never before. I've seen several church members who are crying out to the Lord consistently week after week for some of our church families that don't resolve things with one prayer. I've seen our elders, our staff, wow, they're not just doing a job, everybody. They're living out a calling. I'm so grateful for them. I've seen many of you. I've seen many of you call and stop what you were doing because the need to serve somebody else. Because the world isn't about you. It doesn't revolve around you. It revolves around Him and sharing His love. I've seen us have compassion on one another. And, you know, to know Jesus, to be filled with His Holy Spirit, to know His heart, is to have compassion on one another, and especially the one who walks alone. My wife pointed out last week that the word compassion in the Greek actually means to suffer together, to suffer with. That's what Jesus did for you and me, and that is what we are supposed to do for one another. He served me. I serve Him by serving others. And that's why this message of no one walks alone, which the Lord gave me 3 months ago, is just so prophetic and so the word of the Lord for all of us. Genesis 2:18 says this, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" You know, I always do a membership class called Go Deeper. We're actually doing one the last Wednesday of this month. You can sign up on your connection card, Wednesday, September 29th. But in that membership class, I always say this. Look, when Jesus said it is not good for man to be alone, it was before there was ever sin. It was before there was ever any brokenness in the world. The world was perfect. Nothing was wrong with it. But God looked at Adam by himself and said, that's not good. It wasn't complete because God has never planned for someone to be alone. Why? Because you're made in His image. Genesis 1:26 and 27, let us make man His image. God is never alone and you were created never to be alone. Now, we're not talking about whether you're married or single. What we're talking about is you were created to be with God and to be with the family He creates for you, which is at every stage of life in the church. You know, when we are alone, we're so easily overwhelmed with the world and its fears. When we are alone, when no one knows who we are and what we're going through, when no one knows us well enough to be able to speak God's encouraging word and specific word to us on a daily basis or weekly basis, when we don't have that, we're vulnerable and we can succumb to temptation, to pride, to sin so easily. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 tells us, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the person who falls and has no one to help them up. Verse 12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Look, God created us to be with Him and with others. So in Psalm 68, verse 6, it says, God sets the lonely in family. And yet the truth is, we know so many feel so alone. Just Google statistics on loneliness right now during this pandemic. And you set aside a few dozen hours to try to read everything. But I want article I thought summed it up well. I want us to look at, because even the world recognized it's not good to be alone, like Genesis 2 tells us. Here's the Harvard Review. It says leading professor of psychiatry Robert Waldinger said, today, many say, I seem to have a lot of friends, but I don't really feel like anybody knows me. I don't really feel close to many people. Social psychologists define loneliness as the gap between the social connections you would like to have and those you feel you actually experience. Side note, the Bible defines loneliness as not being with God and not being with the family he gives you. And again, family doesn't necessarily marriage or by blood, but by the Spirit. The article goes on. Listen to this. When Genesis 2 says it's not good for man to be alone, listen to what scientists know these days. The health implications of loneliness have become clearer over time. According to researchers, the heightened risk of mortality from loneliness equals that of smoking 15 cigarettes a day or being an alcoholic. Loneliness and the dangers it creates exceed the health risks associated with obesity. Researchers are now actively studying the mechanisms by which loneliness affects the health, including its relationship to inflammation and harmful changes in DNA expressions. In other words, Genesis 2, it is not good for man to be alone. In a recent study, 36% of Americans reported feeling lonely frequently or almost all the time, during this pandemic. This is compared to 22% before the pandemic. Perhaps most striking is that 61% of those aged 18 to 25 report the highest levels of loneliness. The unsettling statistic is even more troubling when combined with the June 2021 data from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention showing that 63% of young people reported experiencing substantial symptoms of anxiety and depression. It's a group that we are really concerned for. Now, if you go over to the Consumer Affairs Journal this summer, it gives these stats. The feelings of loneliness are growing in almost every adult age group at a frightening pace during COVID. A University of Michigan poll found 56% of adults 50 to 80 report feelings of isolation and intense loneliness. This is in stark contrast to 2018 when it was 27%. I could go on with these articles, but all it says is what Genesis 2:18 says. It is not good for a person to be alone. When we're alone, we are in danger. When no one knows us and what we're going through and shares our joys and our sorrows and can speak God's word to us, when we're missing that, we are in a dangerous place. Yet, sin in our lives, pain in our lives, anger in our lives, it fools us into actually telling people, leave me alone. When we get hurt, when we get disappointed, when we get frightened, when we don't know how to handle our past, we actually contribute to our own loneliness and tell people, hey, if you're not doing it my way, leave me alone. Hey, if you're not going to let me live how I want to live, leave me alone. Hey, you know what? Leave me alone. Your sin hurts me too much. Sin encourages us to be alone, but then it leaves us vulnerable to be overwhelmed. And that's how a lot of us have felt this week. So many of you sharing with me. So here's the good news of Jesus Christ. What does God do? God becomes, as the worship song you're going to hear or you're going to play at the end of this message, he becomes reckless. He becomes reckless in the way he loves us and makes sure that we are not alone. Listen to these words. This is not just a quote from a person. This is the truth of the universe. This is the word of God. Romans 5, 6, and 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the alone. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners and alone, Christ died for us. Philippians chapter 2 says that Jesus gave up his right of being God and didn't consider it something to hold on to, and took the form of a servant, even to the point of death, to rescue us. One commentator on this verse says, precisely because Jesus was God, he didn't grasp at being God. When faced with evil, God didn't isolate himself. He descended into the storm we call humanity to the point of death, even a shameful death on the cross, because that is what God is like. He never leaves us alone. He joins us in a fellowship of suffering that we might know his love. Now look, all of this is good, but really the main passage that this whole sermon series is based off of, we'll do other passages next week, but it's Luke 15, verses 1 through 7. Luke 15, 1 through 7. And it's the story of the lost sheep, the one, verse the 99. And here, the Bible, the Word of God, from Ezekiel to Isaiah, it always talked about that God himself would be the shepherd that would go after those who are lost and bring them back in. It's always been there, but in Luke 15, the people who are supposed to know him the most are totally blind to his heart. They think it's okay for people to be alone. In Luke 15, 1 and 2, we hear that the Pharisees and the religious people are seeing Jesus with the tax collectors and the sinners. And they're mad at Jesus for doing that. Why is he with them? And I want you to hear this. The religious people of Jesus' day said, it's okay for them to be alone. They should be alone. They deserve to be alone. And Jesus says, how can you know me and think that way? How can you decide it's okay for people to be alone? Well, you know, they've done this and that, and they don't believe the same way, and they don't live this out. And did you see what they did to that other person? And Jesus tells three parables. The first one, this parable of the lost sheep. And he's talking to all of us, because all of us start developing this attitude. It's okay for them to be alone. Well, what they did, they deserve to be alone. And God's saying, don't you know me? Don't you remember what the cross was all about? Don't you remember what I did for you? And he says these words in Luke 15. Then Jesus told them this parable. The religious Pharisees and teachers of the law, the people who thought it's okay. God wants some people to be alone. I'm not going to be with them. Here's what he says. Verse 4. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Jesus tells this story. The word shepherd is never in this passage, but all of Israel would have remembered Isaiah 40, how God promised to himself to be a shepherd, to go after those who are scattered, alone, and distant. In Ezekiel, where God said, I will be their shepherd. I will find them. They know that this is about God the shepherd. And here they are. And Jesus says, look, if you wander away,
I'm going to come find you. Jesus in this passage is saying, God is not okay with people being alone. In this passage, Jesus is saying, I promise I am coming after you. And I don't know where you feel today. I don't know how loneliness and isolation is affecting you. But you need to know that there is a God who is saying, it's not okay with me that you're by yourself. I'm going to come and find you. And look, even by watching today, maybe that's exactly the moment you're having. God's saying, I know where you are. I know what you're going through. Yes, you may have strayed away. Maybe you feel like you purposely ran away. Maybe you think after what you've done, I don't want to be near you. That is not my heart. And I love this passage. Verse 4, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one. One of them's alone. Does not he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Hey, last time I checked, leaving 99 sheep in open country, not a good idea. There are like no sheep ninjas who are going to protect the flock. Sheep are helpless. They can't defend themselves. And yet Jesus says, God's heart says, you know what? Those 99 are here, but I'm going after that one. I'm going to provide, but I want that one. God wants you today, wherever you are. You know, a commentator said in this passage, said, you know, this idea of a sheep wandering is just his head is down and he's just going from one thing to the other. He's just looking to be fed. He's going from green grass to green grass. He's not paying attention to where he's going. He's not thinking about long term. He's not thinking about where he's headed. He's just, life has got him just doing one thing after the next, and his head's constantly down. And he's not realizing where he's going or she's going. That can be you and me. But today is the day where the shepherd, the God who loves you and created you, is saying, hey, I'm coming to find you. Verse 5 says his greatest joy is to be with you. Verse 5 says, and when he finds that sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And I love verse 6. And goes home. Because that's where God wants to take you. It's not just about heaven one day. Praise the Lord for heaven. But it's also about having a home here on earth. I was talking to some of our church family about Robert Pride and how much we love him and how much we're going to miss him. And one of our staff said, you know, it was so cool. I just had a time just a little while ago where Robert was sharing what a difference Cornerstone had made in his life, how much his life has changed for him and his family. And basically the word was like, this church changed my life. And I said, I just thought, no, it wasn't the church that changed your life. It was a home. It was God's home. That's what church should be. Church is not an event. It's not a program. It's a home where we've got this home until we get the final one. Some of you, when you've moved to buy a new house, for a while you were living in another house, right, for a little bit, because you need a home while you're waiting for your final home. Well, that's what church is supposed to be. It's that home for us while we're waiting for our final home. This is the heart of God. And I love, again, verse 6. God wants to bring us together. He wants to bring us home. And then what does he do? He calls his neighbors and his friends and he says, join me, come together, and let's celebrate this person who's precious in my sight, who was lost and alone, but now is found, who's decided to repent of head down. I'm just going to, wherever I get my next meal, wherever I can get my next fix, wherever I can, the next thing that's going to kind of keep me going. God, I repent of that. I pick my head up and I see that you're coming for me and I say I want to go home. And that's what you can do today. You can, when we put the link up for that song, Reckless Love, I want you at the end of service just to put that on. And it's a long one, and the singer even shares a little bit about this passage and why he wrote the song. And I just want you to know that is not a song, and that is not an emotion that's starting to fill you. That's the Spirit of God who's saying, I am here, this is me for you. But if it's so true, if Jesus and the cross and everything he did, Jesus became alone so that we are never alone. He was alone on that cross. Even his Father had to turn away in that moment of judgment. Jesus was alone so that you and I never have to be alone. But I want you to hear this. Man, all this truth can be true, and we can't see it. And that's why I'm going to encourage you to get a penny, pop it in your pocket for a while. There was a philosopher who said this: a penny will hide the biggest star in the universe if you hold it close enough to your eye. You know, sometimes, I mean, the truth that God, Emmanuel, wants to be with us, all he did for us, the Spirit poured out to be with us, the truth of the universe can be hidden when something that is not as big and not as powerful, not worth as much, is the thing we put closest to how we see. And look, in this passage, in Luke 15, there was the religious penny. There are so many religious people so preoccupied with themselves and their own rightness that became this thing they put so close to looking at everything. They couldn't see the Son of God fulfilling his promise to be with those who are alone. Some of us, it's not a religious penny, it's a career penny. Because we're so busy with ourselves and our career, and we've forgotten that God is the God who provides, and we're acting like we're the one who provides. And if we don't know the future, then there must not be one. And this penny of career and work, it's just so close to our eyes, we can't see. We can't see the truth that God is with us. We can't see other people are lonely. Some of us, it's the parenting penny. Man, little kids, so much to do with those kids. It becomes this thing, and it's all we can see. When we don't realize, as parents of kids, yeah, it may be exhausting, but I'm telling you what, God has given us the best evangelism tool ever. We have the very thing people are longing for. Sarah and I saw it again and again as we welcome people into our home and into our family. You know, we just decided long ago, it doesn't matter if the house is clean or not. We're just going to let them come on in. Actually, it'll make them feel better about themselves anyway. And you know what? I don't want to keep them. I don't want to wait till things are perfect in my house or my kids to say, hey, I see that you're lonely. Here's a family you can be part of. I've got a few more pennies. Here's the painful penny right here. Here's that I can't get over what someone did to me, how they let me down. And I want you to hear this. I'm so sorry you've been through that. God grieves with you. But I would just encourage you. I would plead with you. Would you please take that painful penny away from your eye and see that although someone wronged you, you could do so much right for so many around you. Oh, here's one. The comparison penny. I'm so busy looking at people who I feel like are better than me that I don't see that I have the power through Jesus to make so many other people's lives better. This little penny's blocking out the largest star in the universe. And then I've got one more penny and we're going to wrap up. This is Satan's greatest penny right here. It's the most evil. It's the penny of Satan's greatest tool, it's death. And I want to remind you that when our bodies give way, and we become weak and frail, and we just, there's almost nothing else we can see because we live in this body. I want you to remember that Jesus died to defeat death and sickness. And the weaker we get physically, the more he is with us. The more the reality of the frailty of our bodies comes into us, the greater the reality of the presence of God. I've had some times over the past month to share with spouses as they were distant from their loved ones because of COVID, as their loved ones was going to be with the Lord. And I said, hey, we were built to be with them right now. But I also want to remind you of this. Jesus, the good shepherd who promised never to leave us or forsake us. Romans chapter 8, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I just want you to remember right now as you're aching, your loved one is not alone. Your loved one, Jesus is with them. And they know it now more than ever before. They may not be able to say it. But don't let that person who's going to be with the Lord, that penny, is falling away. Because God's with them. And I just want to encourage you today. We've got to put our pennies down, right? We've got to put these pennies down. We've got to trust the Lord. And I just want to encourage you. We're just going to have a minute of prayer here at the end. Your online host, or if you're on Facebook, your online host there, they're going to post that link for the worship song, and they're also going to post a connection card for you. And here's what I want. Here's what I'm just, man, I know the Spirit of God is doing today in us. First of all, we've just got to cry out and stop being silent. God, I need you. God, I'm that wandering sheep. I just had my head down. I was just eating and going, and I wasn't paying attention to where I was, or I didn't care where I was. I wasn't thinking ahead. And God, I'm lost now. I need you. Look, if you've never known Jesus as your Savior and as your shepherd, all you have to do today, and the host will lead you in it, all you got to do is say, Jesus, I need you. Bring me back home. I don't want to be without you and without the family that you create for me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, change. I repent of just going wherever seemed good. I want to go where you lead, even if it seems hard. So we need to cry out, but we also need to step out. I mentioned the membership class in 2 weeks, Wednesday, September 29th. It's called Go Deeper. You can sign up online. We'll figure out an in-person version and an online version. You know what I say there? I say, look, church is not a formality. It's a family. That's what it's supposed to be. We're going to, next week, you're going to not only get your very own Cornerstone No One Walks Alone t-shirt, so you want to come out if you're able. If not, we'll figure out how to make sure we send some swag your way. But here's the deal. Next week, we're going to introduce the plan for small groups for October. And literally, it's going to be, we're going to call it All In. And it's this idea of, we don't want anybody outside of the family of God walking alone. And we don't want anybody who's not all in for what Jesus wants to do. Next Sunday, online, in person, we're going to share that news, and we're asking everybody, online and in person, we want everybody all in for October, because we want to follow the heart of Jesus, who says, hey, let me bring everybody together. Let's celebrate. Let's be home and celebrate together. So you need to step out for those things. And then I would also say, hey, help out. Take the penny from your eye and ask God to show you people who are feeling alone, who are walking alone. Who's with them? The answer is you. The answer is you. Would you help out and go to a neighbor and see how they're doing? Would you help out and say, hey, our church is in this whole series on No One Walks Alone, and I can give you the link, or you can come. They're giving away some gifts, and we're just celebrating. We got the tent, so we're outside. Would you help out? Cry out, step out, and help out. And maybe, may I suggest, How about some throw out? Like just throw out the pennies and say, I'm not using them anymore. God, help me to see you more than that thing I've held so close to my eye. The song Reckless Love of God by Corey Asbury. It's the link you're going to get or already have gotten. In it, he says, I wrote this song, and I'm not sure if it's just him or the worship team with him, but so I wrote this song when I realized I'm not calling that this parable of the lost sheep, that's what Jesus did for me. He said, I was a young person who like wasted my youth and my innocence and found myself broken and alone. And then Jesus found me. And he said, when I say reckless love of God, I'm not saying that God is reckless, like he's inconsistent or dangerous. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the way he loves us seems reckless, that he would forget about his own well-being to come and serve us. And that's how God feels about you today. So I'm inviting you to have worship in a moment. I want to remind you about that connection card. Whether it is saying, hey, I want to sign up for membership. Whether I want to, I'm already interested. I want to know about small group. Or maybe it's like, hey, can I help out? Is there a way we can make this church home better? Or is there a way somebody in our church family needs something? Just, man, put it down today. And as we finish in prayer, I just go straight. Man, you're on a computer or device. Just hit the link and spend some time in worship. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you for my church family. Lord, I thank you that the Apostle Paul told us that sometimes we're not with each other in person, but we are with one another in the Spirit. And I thank you that you have done that. And now, Lord, I pray. Lord, I just pray right now for the person, Lord, who doesn't know you and knows they need you. If you've never accepted Jesus, today is the day. It's not religiousness. It's not a political agenda. It's not a church's manipulation. Don't worry about any of that stuff. The Father who created you, who said it's not good for a person to be alone, has given his Son for you to be with him. And then I just want to encourage you. Man, it's possible to know Jesus, but have one of these pennies up at your eye and you just feel so alone, so isolated. Would you just remember today that he is with you? Just tell him today, God, I want to be with you again. Forgive me. And Lord, I pray for each of our family members who are feeling alone. I pray, one, they would cry out to you. I pray they would step out. And I pray, Lord, I pray for our entire church family. Let us reach out. Let us reach out for you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of us as a family said, amen. Love you. Please feel free to reach out to me. And I always enjoy a good text that says, hey, Pastor Sean, thanks for the sermon, or here's what God's doing. Never worry about me being too busy in that. And if you need anything, maybe you just on that connection card and you say, hey, I could just use someone to pray with me. Just let us know. You're not alone. No one walks alone. God bless you, and I'll see you in small groups, or I'll see you next Sunday.